first prayer request is pray for the family of Janelle Gerner, who went to be with her Lord and Savior this past weekend. She was Sue Huddleston's aunt.
Okay.
And these aren't on there, but I feel led to pray for the lost.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're lost, they just don't know yet.
Right.
They may not know. Or even, and also the ones that have turned away from.
Yeah.
To turn back to, because I was one of those
mm-hmm.
that turned away from God.
Yeah. You know, when we say lost, you may say, well, I'm getting ready to leave the house, and I went to the place where I thought my keys were, and they're not there, so I've lost my car keys. No, you haven't lost your car keys. You just misplaced them. Mm. And there are a lot of people in this world that, you know, we might, as a Christian person, you say, well, we need to pray for the lost. Yes, they are lost, I agree, but the reason they're lost is because they're misplaced. But they can be replaced. They can be taken from where they are and put back where they should be, and then they won't be lost anymore. And so we're going to believe God for that. We're believing God for it. And listen, if you're believing for a loved one, don't give up. Don't give up. You just don't know how close you may be to that breakthrough that you've been hoping and praying for. And don't you let circumstances discourage you. Because a lot of times it seems to get worse before it gets better. We start praying for someone, it seems like they start acting more the fool. But I kind of look at that like this. If you're going to get the honey, you're going to stir up the bees. Mm. So if you look at somebody's life and it looks like, man, they was doing better before I started praying for them, just take that as a confirmation that your prayers are stirring up the bees and the honey is coming. Amen. But Father, we come before you, and we pray for Janelle's family, Lord God. We pray, and we thank you that heaven is real. Father, I was talking to a dear friend of mine yesterday whose dad went to be with the Lord recently. And Father, we were just talking about the reality of heaven. And I'm so thankful, Father, that you made it so clear and so reassuring to us in your word that heaven is real. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. It's a real place. And Father, I thank you that we don't have to grieve like people who have no hope of seeing our loved ones again, who have no hope of an eternal life. But because of you, Jesus, we know that those who put their faith in you, who are asleep in you, as the Bible says, that when you return, Jesus, you'll bring them with you. Your word's clear about that, Father. You said, Jesus, that if someone lives and believes in you, they'll never die. And we feel like, well, so-and-so died. They didn't really die. They just simply changed their earth clothes for heavenly clothes. And, Father, we're thankful for that. We're thankful that we can have a comfort from the Holy Spirit that can help us to grieve with hope and to not stay in a place of grieving. Father, I know it is not your will for us to live in an attitude of grief. The enemy will use that against us, Father. And I just want to say today that if you're listening to me today and someone you love is now in heaven and you find yourself feeling joy and you're feeling happy, and here will come a thought, say, you shouldn't be feeling that way. You should be being sad. That I'm going to tell you, that thought does not come from God. That is not a God thought. And so we just cancel the assignment of grief in Jesus' name. We take authority over grief and depression and despair in Jesus' name, and we release healing and hope. And we thank you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are still the good shepherd of the sheep, and that you still leave the 99 and go seek out and search and find that one who has wandered off. And you will not stop searching until you have found that one. And you put them on your shoulders and you bring them back to the sheepfold. You put them back in their rightful place. And today we release our faith to say that the lost, those that have been misplaced, those that have been separated from the life you have, whether they've known it or never known it, we believe, Father, you're able to restore them to the place that you desire them to be, the place of salvation, the place of grace, the place of deliverance. And, Father, we release our faith that that is happening even as we speak, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. And there's one that came on while you were praying. It's from Jody Miller.
Yep.
She says, good morning, this is Jody. I need lots of prayers. They found a massive mass on my ovary, and I've lost a lot of blood. Yep. Please keep me in your prayers. Yep. So if we could pray for Jody. I love you and miss you, Jody.
Yeah. Father, we bring Jody before you. We bring Jeremy before you. We know that he's troubled. I know Jeremy's tender heart. He just is just troubled, Lord God. He just, you know, if he could swap places with you, Jody, he would. But Jesus already did. Jesus already swapped places with you, Jody. Jesus already took stripes on his back to pay for your healing. And we together, along with God's word and along with your faith, you wouldn't be asking for prayer if you didn't believe that God cared and that God can do something about it. And we declare that God has done something about it. He has sent Jesus Christ, the healer. And we believe in Jesus. We believe in the healer. Right now, out loud, just say, I believe that Jesus is my healer. I receive that healing into my body right now. I speak to my body. I say, body, come in line with the word of God. You are my body, given to me by my God. And I take authority over every sickness, over every disease. Nothing that takes life has a right to dwell in me. Say it out loud. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm redeemed by Jesus from the curse of the law. Sickness is a curse. It's not a blessing. It does not belong to me. And I thank you, Father God, that you have given me help. You've given me help through doctors. You've given me help through faith. You are giving me help. And you are restoring me to life as you intend it to be in every area, in my spirit, in my mind, in my soul, and yes, even in my body. In Jesus' name, I receive this now, and I thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you that I'm feeling better and better and better. I'm getting stronger and stronger, and recovery is mine so that the glory is yours. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
And there's another one that came in.
All right, I like praying. We'll just keep praying.
For Sister Judy Gifford, she didn't give no details.
Yeah.
She says, I appreciate prayer also this morning.
Yes, Father, we live, sisters.
We don't have to have the details because no. God has them
He
all.
Knows those he details. He knows those details. And Father, we know that Sister Judy has lived a life in love with you. And Father, it's not on the basis of her love for you that we are asking you to move on her behalf. It is on the basis of your love for her. I simply mention that she loves you because your word declares that for those that love you, we know that in all things you are working together for the good. Father, we don't always like the things that come our way, but Father, we have confidence that you, God, will never leave or forsake us. You are well aware of Sister Judy's need, and I believe you are working on her behalf. And Father, we release anointing to destroy every yoke of oppression in whatever form it takes, in whatever form it takes, in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that we can live a life and we can have no regrets. Everything that the enemy might try to make us regret, we have covered with the blood of Jesus. Lord, we've made decisions based on what we believe you wanted us to make. We've moved forward as you desired us to move forward. And Father, we're not going to look back. We're going to be like the Apostle Paul. We're going to keep on pressing on. Sister Judy, we're pressing forward to the mark of the high calling. God is not done with you yet. God is not through with you yet. God's anointing and power is upon your life. You're a life changer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I have no reason to speak that or to say that other than I just feel prompted to do it. I hope and pray it ministers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. They are our Facebook sponsor for today. Also, Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located at the Promise Center here in Elk City, Oklahoma. They are one of our Facebook sponsors, too. And Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson. If you would like some custom designs in wood, please reach out to Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Whether you've been thinking about sizing down or have some land or home you want to sell, Grants Auction and Realty should be your first choice. Maybe you have an estate that needs to be liquidated. Grants Auction and Realty will get you the best price. Grants Auction is your complete liquidation professional. Grants Auction lots and catalogs every item. They don't charge you more, they just make you more. Grants Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269, or find them on the web at www.grantsauction.com.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. There are times in life when it seems like you're swimming across a big lake. One stroke after another and the end is nowhere in sight. The body gets tired and the mind drifts into the what ifs. What to do, where to go, and how's it ever going to get done? The key is in the focus. Don't focus on the lake, focus on the stroke. If that is all you have, it's all you need.
Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln wants your service business no matter what. This is Rhett McAbee, Service Director at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City. At Barber Dyson, we want your parts and service business no matter what you're driving, no matter where you bought it. Bottom line, we want your parts and service business. We hang our hat on service with world-class service riders, factory-trained technicians, and knowledgeable parts staff. Give us a shot today at Barber Dyson Ford Lincoln in Elk City.
Experience the difference, Barber Dyson Ford's where you save.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. Yeah. Our guest this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd, and his title for today is Watch Your Words and Watch Your Life Change.
Yeah, get better.
Gooder
and get better. If you watch your words and you speak the words that align with God's word, your life is going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. You know, it's like somebody, if somebody walks around, they walk around all the time, they go, "Boy, I hate exercise. I hate exercising." Your spirit prompts you, say, "You know, you need to start exercising." Well, you've been saying, "I hate exercise." You're thoroughly convinced you hate exercise. You say you hate exercise. If instead of saying that, you simply might change your words, you say, "You know what? I know in my mind, in my brain, that exercise would be good for me. Do I want what's good for me? If I were to begin to exercise consistently, would I feel better? I believe I would. Do I want to feel better? Yes, I do. Well, then I'm going to start speaking. You know what? I enjoy exercise, and I do exercise. I exercise frequently. I begin to speak that, and I'm hearing myself say it. And I might not believe it the first time I say it, but if I say it often enough, I'm going to begin to believe it. And that works whether that's good or bad. Now, I don't want to focus too much on that kind of speaking and thinking, because honestly, you want your life to get better. You don't have to convince yourself. You just got to get in agreement with what God said. God said enough good things about your life that if you just get in agreement with what he said and start saying what he says over your life, you'll find that life will get better and better. So we started this morning in James 3, and he said, you know, like a bit in a horse's mouth directs where the horse goes. A rudder on a ship directs the ship where the pilot wants to go instead of where the winds want it to go. It reminded us that we've got to take charge. We've got to take charge. If your life's been going the wrong direction, you need to redirect it. And the way I redirect my life is by redirecting my words along with my belief. I'm redirecting. Then Proverbs, in three different places, we looked at the 12th, 13th, and 18th chapter, it's talked about your words producing fruit in your life. And particularly said, you know, that a man's life filled with good things by the fruit of his lips. Well, good. I want good things. Well, then you need to be speaking good things so that God can use your faith-filled words to produce that fruit in your life. Praise God. And someone might hear all that, and they say, well, I just don't know. Well, let's go to Genesis 1. We'll keep digging a little deeper. We'll lay a deeper foundation. Watch. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, now you know, you probably know this. You probably have read or heard the account of creation. And God said, I'm going to tell you what God didn't say. God didn't stand up there and go, man, it sure is dark. If he did, what would have happened? Well, you know what would have happened. It would have remained dark. God did not look at the darkness and say, it sure is dark. He did not call it as it looks. Mm. He called what he wanted to see. The Bible says God calls things that are not and gives life to. That's Romans chapter 4. God calls things that are not as though they were, and he's the God who gives life to the dead. You think about how Jesus raised his friend Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11. Jesus went to the tomb of a dead man. He's been there so long, he's decomposing. Sisters say, Lord, if you would have been here, you could have done something about it. We know you're a healer. And then they would make this remark, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus goes, your brother will rise again. They go, uh-huh, in the last days. He goes, Jesus wept. You say, why Jesus weep? Because Lazarus was dead? Lazarus wasn't dead to Jesus. He told the disciples, he's asleep and I'm going to wake him up. Why would he cry over that? You want to know what I believe, my theory is about why the Bible says Jesus wept? He wept because they just wouldn't believe what he was trying to get them to see. That with him, it's never too late. That it's if he comes on the scene is going to change. Amen. He is life. He said, I know he'll raise in the last days. Jesus goes, I am the resurrection and the life. Can you? And I'm going to paraphrase. He goes, can you not see it? Will you not believe it? I told you that if you live and believe in me, you never die. Why don't you believe that? And Jesus wept. I believe it. I believe Jesus weeps sometimes over the things he hears me saying. I believe sometimes Jesus weeps over the things he wants me to have and he wants me to experience. But I'm cutting myself off from it by my belief and my words. And then I'm going, well, I don't know why God don't do that for me. Hmm. God goes, I don't know why you won't give me something to work with.
Come on.
What's God work with? Well, in the Genesis, God works with words. It says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And if you keep reading in Genesis chapter 1, you can look in verse 6 and verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 14. Whatever God wanted to create, it says, and Lord God said, and then it says, and it was so. And then it says, and he saw that it was good. He said it, it was so, and he saw it. Listen, one more time. Don't let this go past you. He said it. It was so. Then he saw it. It doesn't say he saw it, so he said it, and then it was so. He said it first. It was so, and then he saw it. That's how faith works. Faith works. You got to see it on the inside, say it, and it becomes. That's how faith works. Faith produces harvest like a seed. Well, I got to grow me some oranges. Well, you better not want orange juice this afternoon because it's going to take a minute. You're going to have to plant that seed. You're going to have to nurture that seed. The tree's going to have to grow, and then the tree's going to produce fruit. But you say, well, I don't want to plant a seed then. That takes too long. You've been planting seeds your whole life. The fact of the matter is your life today is a direct result of the seeds you've been planting in the past. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, then change it. Begin to plant different seeds and begin to ask God for forgiveness and mercy for the things you said that you shouldn't have said. See, I don't believe that, oh, I said something wrong. Now I'm just doomed. I'm just doomed to have it. I slipped. You know, where's grace? Where's grace in that? If everything you say is going to come to pass no matter what, where is grace? Come on. I believe in grace. I believe in mercy. But when I just keep saying and I just keep saying and I just keep saying and I just keep saying, what do you think's going to happen? If the man's life is filled with the things that come forth from his mouth, what's going to happen? Then I'm going to wind up with that whether I wanted it or didn't want it. That's what I'm going to wind up with. So I've got to watch my words so that I can watch my life change. Amen. So in Genesis 1, we find we live in a word-created, word-dominated world. But he created everything. We haven't got to the part where he created Adam and Eve. Look at verse 26. Verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over the livestock and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. 28th verse, God blessed them. Can I read it this way to you? God empowered them. Well, wonder how God blessed them. Watch. God blessed them, and he said to them, he imparted blessing by speaking, and he said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, in other words, reign over it, and rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. So, in other words, God gave them dominion, authority, power, blessing. That's what Adam and Eve had before the curse of sin entered the world. They were the literal kings, priests of the earth. They were in all authority and power had been given to them. He goes, subdue the earth and rule over it. They were created to be rulers. They were created in the image of God to be like God, to be literally, I'm going to say it with little g, the God of this planet. They were to rule over it. Let me ask you a question. Think about a king. King sitting up on his throne. He goes, you know, I'd really like to have a ditch dug where water would run right here through this place and water my garden over there. I'd like to have a ditch dug. Does the king get off of his throne and go get the shovel and start digging a ditch? No, he's a king. He doesn't dig the ditch. He decrees, let a ditch be dug here.
Come on.
Kings don't rule by the sweat of their brow. They rule by decree. How were Adam and Eve going to rule over the earth? How are they going to rule over the birds? By taking hold of the birds and putting little muzzles on them and little, you know, walk them around on a leash? No, they were going to rule over the birds of the air with words of authority. They were going to rule over the fish of the sea with words of authority. They were going to rule over everything that lived on the face of the earth with words of authority. When God created them in his own image, he created them just like him, creator class beings. And they had the power in their tongues of life and death. And they could speak life or they could speak death. And they could control their circumstances and direct their circumstances by the words they chose to use. Because see, up until then, we got no other history of God other than God said, and God said, and God saw, and it was so, and God said, and it was so, and God saw, God said. And then he creates them in his image. Well, what are they going to be doing? Well, I'm assuming they're going to be doing what he did. They're going to be going, I say, you know, God's given me authority. He has blessed me. And so I'm saying, you know, birds, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. I'm ruling over you, birds. You're not going to come down here and eat all our corn up. You're going to stay away from this corn, you crows. You're not going to eat our corn. And the crows didn't eat the corn because they had authority and power in their words. But then the curse came. When the curse came, they realized they're naked. They're afraid. They no longer are they using words of authority. No longer do they have dominion. All of a sudden, the whole world that they had dominion over seemed to have dominion over them. But he said, well, yep, that's right. We don't have that power no more. Well, what did Jesus come for? Jesus came to destroy the power of the curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Jesus became a curse for us so that we might inherit the blessing. The curse was put on Jesus. And then here, let's just, while we're talking about Jesus, we'll go look at what Jesus had to say about the subject matter. Go to Mark chapter 11. You know, I don't know if I believe you, preacher. I don't know if I can trust you. Well, do you trust Jesus? We'll just read what he said. Mark 11. We'll pick it up in verse 20. But what had happened, Jesus was going to the temple with his disciples, and he sees a fig tree, has leaves on it, but it don't have any figs. And so in order to teach a lesson, it wasn't that Jesus was a tree hater, but in order to teach a lesson, when Jesus walked up to that tree and it had no fruit that was desired, it just had leaves. In other words, it was kind of a hypocrite tree. It looked like it had fruit, but it didn't. He spoke to the tree. King James Bible says he answered the tree. That means that tree was talking to him. He spoke to the situation. Situations will speak to you. They'll try to talk to you. You need to talk back. Fever will try to talk to you. You need to talk back. Jesus spoke to the tree, said, I tell you, may no man eat fruit from you from here on. That's all he said. He didn't spend an hour there saying, I curse you in the name of me. You know, he didn't even say, I curse you. He just spoke, no one's going to ever eat fruit from you again. And the next morning when they walked by, verse 20, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered up. Where from? The roots. That's you. So I spoke against something and I didn't see nothing happen. Well, it's withering from the roots. Did you speak in faith? Yeah, I spoke in faith. Did you speak what the Lord, the Holy Spirit, told you to speak about that situation? Yeah, but nothing happened. You need to quit saying nothing happened, because what you say and believe is what you're going to get. Nothing happened. You need to start saying, you know, I spoke it, I believed it, and therefore it is happening whether I see it or I don't see it. But it's happening. Amen. So in the morning they saw it, it was withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said, Lord, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed is withered. Jesus answered this. He didn't go, wow. He said, well, have faith in God. And the literal translation is, have faith the way God has faith. Have God's kind of faith. You know what God's kind of faith is? 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us about God's kind of faith. It says this. It says, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. And with that same spirit of faith, we believe, and therefore we speak. You want to be sick? Call yourself sick. Claim that sickness as yours. Call it mine all the time, and you'll keep it. You want to get well? Call yourself well. Call wellness to you. Say, decree. I'm not asking you to deny the symptoms. Say, these lying, thieving symptoms of fever and cough and blah, 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 blah are attacking my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that sickness don't belong to me, and I ain't keeping it. Sickness, you got to go. Healing, I call you forth in the name of Jesus. By his stripes, I was healed. And if I was, I are. And if I are, I'm going to remain. Amen. And you speak like that, and you talk like that. You say, well, I don't know about all that. It's biblical. It's biblical. We just, every scripture we've looked at today proves that that's biblical. It's the way that faith works. You can't sit in a dark room staring at a light switch, wishing it wasn't dark, and expecting the light to come on. You've got to turn the light switch on. And the way we switch on the switch of faith is with faith-filled words. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, I'm not saying you just make them up. If they're going to be faith-filled words, they're going to have to come from God. God's going to have to speak into your spirit what you need to speak. And that's why sometimes you need to quit praying and start listening so that you get the thing that you need to declare. Sometimes we need to, you say, well, I don't like the way my house is. Well, why don't you redeclarate? Redeclarate. Redeclare some things. Take away some things that you've declared into existence. Deny the right to exist any longer and speak differently. Turn the rudder of your ship. I want to go over there. I don't like where I've been going. I don't like the direction my life has been moving. Well, then turn the rudder. Amen. We're almost done. Jesus said to them, have the faith that God has. And then he said this, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart what he believes, but believes what he says, it'll happen, it'll be done. Now, you read it for yourself. Read it for yourself. This is written in red. This is Jesus talking. This is not my opinion. Jesus said, if you believe it in your heart and you declare it with your mouth, you'll have it. Even if it was something so big to you that it seemed like it was a mountain. And he said, don't worry about the size of the problem. Focus on the size of the promise and the one who made it. And then he went on and said this in verse 24. He goes, therefore, or because of that, because you can believe it in your heart and say it and have it, he said, therefore, I tell you that whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and you will have it. I got an email this morning that said, my package is arriving today. I ordered something online. It's actually an auto order. I get it every month. But he says, your package is arriving today. It's like, well, when did you receive it? I received it when I placed the auto order. He said, well, do you have it in your hands? Not yet. But I have received it because I am receiving it. Amen. Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have received it, and it will be yours. You receive it when you're asking. The manifestation may take time. But if you believe you've received it, you don't go around talking like you don't have it. You say, well, I don't feel healed. Well, I wouldn't walk around saying I feel healed. I'm not going to walk around lying. But I'm also not going to walk around lying saying that sickness belongs to me, because it doesn't. Jesus redeemed us from that. It doesn't belong to us. It attacks us, but it doesn't belong to us. So I'm going to walk around claiming that healing belongs to me, even if I'm sicker than a dog, because that sickness is attacking me. And I'm going to attack back, because the fruit I want in my life is the fruit that God says he has for me, not what the world wants to throw at me. Amen. You see, well, how do I really get this to work? I'm going to close my Bible. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, he said, a good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him. And a bad man brings forth bad things out of the bad stored up in him. And then he went on and said this. He said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth's going to speak. You say, well, I have problems with my mouth. Well, if you do, then the actual problem is the things you're putting in. The things that are getting in your heart, through your eyes, and through your ears. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? What are you choosing to believe? When you read the good news of the gospel, do you make a willful choice to believe it? Do you claim it when you see these promises in the word? Do you go, that's what belongs to me right there. That's what belongs to me right there. Or do you just read it and kind of, I don't know. And then you read some other report, say, oh, the COVID numbers are way up today. And you're like, oh, yeah, I know. I believe, boy, this latest variant, it's more contagious than all the rest of them put together. Nah, 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 nah. It's like, I'm not asking you to deny the reality of sickness, viruses, disease in your world. You are surrounded by them. But I'm just saying this. If you want to live in health, you have to fight the good fight of faith for it. And faith means using your words. Because you live in a world that is created by words and dominated by words. And that's not my opinion. That is the manual. See, life ain't working. Well, read the manual and do what it says. Amen. You see, and if you're listening today, you say, oh, man, I'm in trouble. I'm saying so much stupid stuff. I don't even know how to talk right. Good news. You can change it today. All you got to do, begin by asking the Lord to forgive you, cleanse you, and restore you. Set my feet on the right path, Lord, and lead me where you want me to go. I believe he will. I believe he will. Don't you, Monica?
Absolutely.
He will set you on the right path. So just turn around. If you've been going the wrong way, just turn around. Come to Jesus. He loves you. He'll never cast you away. He'll never beat you up for having been doing the wrong thing. He'll just welcome you. The Bible says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people that don't have to. So he would love for us to turn our course back to him in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to share a testimony.
All right.
I shared it in our group this morning. And I just woke up this morning and I don't know, it was just like my spirit was dancing. It was jamming to Jesus, okay? So y'all have heard me talk about Kaylin, Angel's mom, and Haley's mom, my bonus daughter. She celebrates being sober. Over 100 days sober.
Praise God.
And I want to show y'all a picture. Because there's a mom or dad. There's someone out there that was like my mama. Just pressing in and praying for her baby.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became that person. For my bonus daughter.
Yep.
And I want to encourage you to press in and press on.
Yeah.
Because I can assure you, it works. And I'm going to show you a picture. That's Kaylin now. In rehab.
Yeah. In redirect. Yep. She was misplaced and her life was going the wrong direction, but she made a decision. Jesus was tugging at her heart. We know Jesus still tugs at hearts. And if we'll respond to that, he will help us change that direction. Praise God.
I can't get this in there fast.
Praise God. So don't give up. Don't give up on yourself. Don't give up on people you care about. Don't give up on this world we live in. It's not totally wrecked and ruined, and Jesus is not done with us yet.
Amen.
The harvest is plentiful. And we can be good laborers by living in life as Jesus intended, speaking words of faith and hope. The world needs it. People need to hear you and I speaking good. They don't need to hear us griping and complaining. They need to hear us bragging on God. And then they'll know that God loves them. Amen.
Amen. You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. I'm going to say it a third time. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Pastor Dwight Shepherd, y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray. We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.